did have shared their testimony at Hager Island. We've had them that also be with us at the river. And so that's something we very much look forward to. So, Lord, I just ask as we look into your word today that you might speak to us, and we thank you, Lord, for your great plan, your plan of salvation. And so, Lord, as we look into your word together, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You have an outline there of the direction that our message will take today. I don't know how many of you were here on last week, and we listened to Gary Hemrick as he spoke from Revelation chapter 14. And God always has his witnesses. And in Revelation chapter 14, it speaks of the witnesses that are in a coming day, and it speaks of 144,000 people, and those people, you may run into people that call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, and this is not a slam at Jehovah's Witnesses, but really the Jehovah's Witnesses spoken of in the Bible are 144,000 Jewish evangelists. There are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it speaks of that and names each of the tribes. And so those 144,000 are like Billy Graham's that are go out into the world and share the good news of salvation in a terrible time of distress of the whole world. We know that our world is imploding inward, and all the things that we have maybe held here seem to be collapsing, and the Bible said that in the last days that there would be wars and rumors of wars, there would be famines, there would be pestilences, and we are seeing some of those things happen. In the book of Revelation, it also talks about a third of the trees of the earth being consumed by fire. I think we get a picture that some of these things are really actually happening. They're beginning to happen, and we need to pay attention when God begins to speak through nature in this way. We also know that there have been earthquakes, and there's been volcanoes that have erupted, but there are also places on the earth where it's so dry that nothing is growing. Even in the southern United States, it talks about famines. So how do we prepare for such a time as is coming? Well, the Bible gives us a glimpse, and how do we confront culture? And if we went into the Spencer referred to the time of Noah, we would find that Noah was among the people that lived in the time before the Noah flood. And if you have that, I'll find it. Noah had to confront culture, but what did God see when he looked out on the earth? The Bible says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that all the thoughts and intents of the heart of man was only evil, continually. And that's the culture that Noah was bringing up his sons in. And some of that is certainly what we face as parents today. Is it not? There's things that we are confronted with that we need to address or confront in our culture. chapter 3 and verse 9. This gives us the heart of God. It says, God is not willing that any, that's not many, the word is any, not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when you see what's happening in Ukraine and people being killed in war, that's sort of frightening. And yet, the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars, and so is that God's will? No, it's not. God is not willing that any should perish. And so we need to be listening. God wants us to listen up. And in John chapter 3 it says, for God so loved the world, that's us, you and me, that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and he was born in Bethlehem. And the Bible is such an incredible book that in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 it said exactly where Jesus would be born. He would be born in Bethlehem. And you can imagine 700 years ahead of time, God says through the prophet Micah that his son would be born in Bethlehem. And it also says in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, there was more than one Bethlehem. And in the little town of Bethlehem, Jesus was born. In fact, it's so interesting that Caesar Augustus sent out a tax announcement that all the world should be taxed. And I really believe that the reason Caesar Augustus sent out that edict from his place in Rome was so that Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, but Mary was pregnant, and so she had to move back to the hometown, which is Bethlehem, both of them, and Jesus was born there. Think of that. Think of how God knew in advance and had that edict come to pass so that Jesus would actually be born in Bethlehem. And it was written 700 years before him. Isn't that just kind of awesome? That's the kind of God we know and serve. God is an amazing God. And in the Old Testament, there are 300 predictions of what Jesus would be and who he would be and where and what he would accomplish. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of his government there shall be no end. That verse is a very short little verse, but it brings into account that Jesus would be a boy. He would be born in, he would be born of parents, and that he would one day come and reign and rule here on earth. Has that happened? Anybody?
No.
No, it hasn't happened yet. And Jesus is going to reign and rule because we've never had perfect government yet. Do I hear any amens? Oh, just laughter, eh? Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it? Government, our government, the best that we can find, can't bring it all together, can we? And so someday, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to be the king. And he's going to be rule and reign. The Bible tells us that. Isn't that amazing? That's something to look forward to, by the way. A good government. So, as we look at our little outline, the first part is that actually God confronts culture. We are to also confront culture. And when God looked out, he saw that man had departed from him and was wicked. And it grieved the heart of God and made man. Isn't that something? Man had so departed from him that man was so wicked on the earth at that time that it grieved the heart of God that he had made man. And it says in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil without ceasing, continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. Wow, that's not a very good start, is it? But there's also some hope. God also has a man. He has somebody, and it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if we know Jesus as our Savior, we could put our own name in there, that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And although through the building of that boat, it was 120 years, and if we look back into chapter 5, we find that there were people on earth at that time who were makers of tools and so on. There must have been those that had created whatever kind of saws they had, and they went up into the forest, and I believe that Noah probably hired these men to take down trees, and they brought it to the site where the ark was to be built, and they worked on it for 120 years, and Noah talked to them and said, listen, God is going to send rain. And he said, what? There's never been rain. It's always come up from the ground, and the ground has been watered, and they didn't even know what rain was. And they laughed at Noah as they built his boat, his craftsman. And it took 120 years, and he spoke to them, and the only ones that listened were his three sons, and apparently three young ladies, because they ended up with three wives. And so there were only eight went onto that boat. And then God instructed, and the animals came, as you know the story, came onto the boat, and God shut the door. There's a time and limit to God's patience with them. And his patience said, oh, that's it. The door is shut. And we know that the rain came and it covered the world, and Noah and his family were the only ones that were preserved. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we have this incident just in a nutshell. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. And it says, by faith, did Noah see the rain ahead of time? No. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark, and it says, for the saving of his household. And that's all that went on the book. That's unfortunate, isn't it? There could have been many, many more probably on the book. And by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And we know that Jesus is coming back. And the invitation to come into his family is, you can trust in Christ's death on the cross, that he paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. And by asking him into our lives, you can have a gift of eternal life. It is free. It's the best offer that's ever been made. Yeah. So, so many people are not listening. And there's lots of people that scoff. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that in the last days, scoffers will come saying, where's the promise of this coming? Since the days of old, all things have continued as they were before. And so they said, you know, we really don't believe in the Noah flood. There's lots of people in our universities and other places that say, oh, I don't believe that that's a true story. That's a legend or a myth. But you know, in the United States, on the mountains, in Montana, they discovered a great, large skeleton of a dinosaur. It was so big that they couldn't get the trucks in there and move it out. In fact, it was so big that even helicopters were going to be able to lift it up. So they decided, well, you know what? Let's get our chainsaws in there and cut it up, and then we can put it back together in a museum somewhere. So when they cut it through, lo and behold, the marrow of the bone of the dinosaur still had blood in it. They had said this dinosaur is probably 60 million years old. Not. There's blood in marrow in the bones of this dinosaur. But we can't let that information out because it spoils the lives of the people. Isn't that right? And so the earth is not the age that we are told it is. And the dinosaurs were around not so long ago. In fact, there are immense tracks in the tracks of dinosaurs. But that's also true. Anyway, the Bible confronts man and confronts us. And but there's good news. God also wants us to be his children. And he deals with man in his grace. The Bible does confront culture. And we can believe the Bible. It says, heaven and earth will pass away. But my word will not pass away. That's God's word. That's our first point. As we look at a church and you have the opportunity of, again, having our Awana Club in Sunday school, I want to conscript, if I can, and contact our men. I was at a Awana meeting, and most of the people at the Awana meeting were women. Come on, men. We need men. When I flew off to Bible school in Chicago, the Bible College at the end, I hardly landed, and I was conscripted to become an Awana leader in January 1962. If you do the math, that's probably, actually that's 60 years ago. And I was conscripted, but I was also convinced. I was convinced because the Awana Club has a great sports program. It has a great memory work program. And the gospel is taught. And let me tell you a story. Awana had a magazine called doesn't matter. signal exit, yes. And on the front cover, years later, was a testimony of a young man that I couldn't believe. His name was Mark. He'd come to the water club that I was part of. He wasn't in our section of water club, but his name was Mark. Now, Mark was brilliant. And there was another kid there that was so smart. His name was Charlie Anderson. Charlie Anderson could read off Bible verses and quote them right after you read them to him. That's not all. You could ask him the next week and he could give you that Bible verse perfectly. And he could do it a month later. That's how clever he was. Now Mark went on after being in college, and he was out drinking and carrying on with the boys. He remembered some of his Awana verses, and he repented of his sin, and he gave his heart and life to Christ. And he wrote his testimony, and he was then an advisor to the President of the United States as a boy. I want to challenge you men to get involved with the young fellows that come to our doors. You have a chance of seeing them come from the Lord and give their life to Christ and make a difference and confront our culture. That's Mark. So, yes, I'm conscripting. And I believe in conscription because when I landed at Emmaus Bible School, there were a number of Marines, U.S. Marines, well-trained soldiers that had given their time as soldiers and Marines, and they were going to Bible school. And Warner Baxter went after me and scripted me. I was so glad he did. It changed my life. Because I really believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. And it will change. It will change our lives. Because when we trust in Christ, He not only conscripts us, but He calls us. He gives us a calling to commit our lives to seeing boys and girls. What does one stand for? Boys and girls. I salute the flag of the emblem of my country. And to her I give my love and loyalty. Yeah. And it calls boys and girls to Christ. Right? We can miss that opportunity in the lives of your family, or in the lives of this community. We are looking for those of us sit down and share the gospel, and even more will be the result. But people put their faith in Christ and are born again in the Spirit of God. Totally changes people's lives. And we know that we are saved until the coming of Jesus Christ. So our faith is a continuation, right? Until we are either called home by death, which it could happen to me, I'll be 81 in September, or Jesus himself comes and calls us to be with himself. And we don't know when that's going to happen. Do you know when Jesus is coming? Did you know that Jesus himself doesn't know that? That angels don't know? Man don't know? Jesus the Son doesn't know, and he's not yet with the Father, even though Jesus is God. It's a very Jewish thing. The Father tells the groom to go get his bride. That will be what happens. Okay? God the Father will say to Jesus, time to go and get the bride, and he will come and take us Christians home to be with himself. And I hope you're not flying an airplane at that moment. Anyway, he probably does that all taken care of you. So, I just wanted to say, our Christianity should confront culture. Even though it was only Noah's family that went on the ark, they were saved. And they started a new life. And the ark floated on the waters. Those that trust in Jesus Christ will be forgiven their sins, past, present, and future, on the basis of Jesus' death, which is perfect. He was not a sinful man. He was Almighty God. If you put your faith and trust in him, you will come for all eternity, in which God looks at you, he will see his Son dying on the cross for your sins, and he will forgive us. What an amazing gift that is. So then my thing today is the book of Revelation is, let's be busy reaching boys and girls, men and women, to Jesus Christ. Wow, the door is open. One day the door will close. And the time of grace is over. And that's message. And then the time of 7 years of terrible tribulation. God will, Jesus will come not as a savior, but as judge. That's really solemn, isn't it? He will come as judge. And then we will have to give an account of every thought, everything that we've ever done. There's good, wonderful news, isn't it? Jesus came to pay for our sins. And Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Yeah, what an invitation. That's the best life insurance plan that could ever. And so, on that note, I think it's about 10 after 12, is it? Yeah. Hopefully our Sunday schools have, and teachers have had a chance to share their story and their Bible lesson, and so we'll stop at this time. And so let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you, from the beginning of time, confronted us. And you sent your Son to bring us salvation and offer us the free gift. It is so amazing. So amazing that you would see the death in your Son and forgive us, because you have accepted that substitute. You are justified. You have judged sin. You're a loving God, and you accept a substitute yourself in our place. So, Lord, as we have looked into your word today, and we pray that each one here today knows you as their Savior, and is waiting for your coming again. And we ask, Lord, your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody's happy.